This is Collages, and this is Notes and Bolts.
Jimmy, I got mud in me eyes.
Why, it looks like cowboys. Hooray, we're saved.
Yo-ho, cowboys. Over this way, over here.
Yeah! crazy quilt, my crazy quilt tail.
Beetle, my beautiful forest moon.
Don't worry, strangers. There'll be a minute before that's gone.
What do you mean? Oh, my goodness! All that mud got tied off.
Gee, the crazy quilt dragon looks like he's just been dry cleaned.
My goodness sake, what's this?
It's magic, that's what it is.
That's right, partner. As soon as you step on this side,
interview series. Today I am here with Collages. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Pretty good. So what's your history?
I guess it all kind of started after high school ended. I was in a band with some friends, and basically just out of that, I sort of people were going off to school and everything, so I kind of started this thing on my own. And a big influence with that was finding out about samplers. And certain like electronic stuff that I wasn't really doing before. I was mostly in like a punk kind of rock band. And so out of that, definitely from Animal Collective for one thing, I heard about the SP-555 sampler. And so that kind of changed how I sort of made music. It wasn't all about like writing with a band so much as more so just doing it on my own and being able to kind of throw ideas onto this box really fast and manipulate them in a way that I really couldn't before, so that was definitely kind of how it all started. and that was back in probably like 2009, after I finished high school. So from there, it kind of started out, I had to figure out how to play live, and I started doing a lot of open mics with friends. I had a friend who tried to back in the day, I don't know if he still does it anymore, but stand-up comedy. And we would go there and kind of do the comedy thing. He would do comedy and I would play songs, and the guy, Mike from Gnarwave Rangers, who I'll be talking about later, I'm sure, he would come with me too, and we would just kind of like, you know, get some beers and go to the beach and play, just play together and then go play the open mic. And so that was kind of a way to get comfortable with playing alone, I guess, which was a big part of it, because I'd been playing in a band for so long. And I was the singer, so I wasn't like totally, I wasn't like not used to being on stage and wasn't shy or anything, but just doing it on your own is kind of really different, especially when you're doing it in a whole new way, like using the sampler and doing a lot of loops, because a lot of it is loop station stuff and triggering different things at certain times. So it's a lot more different than playing with a band, I guess. So that's where it all started, and then from there I've just been kind of releasing stuff periodically, you know. So I guess that's the beginning, and then since then I've put out a bunch of different EPs and a couple like full-length albums.
What's sort of the history that went into putting all of those out?
Well, the first one was me and my friends were really into like lucid dreaming and like just dreams and stuff, and so the first EP that I made was mostly about that kind of thing, just about dreams and like, I don't know. I guess listen to it, check it out. It's called Night Forages. That's the first one. and then from there, actually, I moved out of my parents' house and got an apartment with one of my friends, Barrett. Gonzalo. He runs Treehouse Studios. They just opened recently, and I was living with him, and we would like jam and stuff sometimes. And he was like, I mean, I guess he was never like a band member, but we played some shows together and stuff, and like he would always help me out. And he taught me a lot about recording, definitely. So that a lot of that was like the first couple albums I made, I recorded on my own, and then I recorded the third one. I think it's the third one with him, which is my first full album. And so that was kind of one little chapter of it, was living in that apartment and recording there. That was when I recorded my second one. It was another EP called Six Songs from a Sandcastle. And it was basically called that because we lived right by the beach, and I would always walk in there and get sand everywhere, so that's why it was called that. And then, yeah, from there, even before I moved in with Barrett, I was recording my full-length album, my first one, called Maya. And we recorded that before and after we lived together, and then we lived together in a house after that. So that album actually was recorded in, like, three different places, his parents' basement, and then our house that we lived in together, actually just two places. So that was kind of the first part. And then recently we all kind of moved out and Barrett opened the studio in an actual place, not just a house, a real, you know, property or whatever. And now I live with my girlfriend, and that's where I recorded my newest one. So that was the first one that I recorded there, the only one I've recorded there, actually.
The elements that go into your sound, like you cited earlier, you mentioned Animal Collective and a lot of more sort of kind of kaleidoscopic psych pop type bands that were sort of on the radar in the late 2000s. Mm-hmm. Is that something that really heavily feeds in? Because a lot of that stuff kind of has the same sort of origin as yours, where it's very homespun, a lot of DIY recording.
Yeah, I think it's like I said, it's totally not ashamed about it at all. Definitely influenced by that kind of idea. You know, I think, like, a lot of people don't really want to be so upfront about their influences sometimes because they don't want to seem like they're, I don't know what's a better way to say it, but basically that they're ripping them off or whatever. You know, you don't want to have that stigma to your band or whatever. So I think, I don't know, that's just, like, important to, like, be in touch with your influences and really understand them. Definitely home recording is a big part of it. I've had this 16-track digital recorder since like 2009 now, and I've recorded tons of stuff. Most of my material was recorded on that one thing, in my parents' basement, in my basement when I lived with my friends, when I lived in the apartment. So I mean, I've, you know, home recording's a big part of it. I've never been like big on the, like, too much big studio effects, but when I did record with Barrett, because there's basically two ways I've recorded, either on my own or with Barrett. On some of the older stuff, and that stuff is really, I don't know. It's like, they're two different worlds, but they fit together. Like, there's albums where I have songs that were home recorded, and then I have songs that were recorded with him, and it all kind of blends together well. So it's not just about home recording, but it's definitely a very, like, DIY feel. It's not too perfect. I like small, even little mistakes on the recordings, I think is cool. Just to give it kind of a cool, homie live feel, I guess.
I'm not afraid to die. like a mushroom bone. All the lovers on the lines, the candy shop boys, the political girls, all the women at the barbecue. DC disco drive, your soul is a memory. Your soul is a memory.
Heard My Song Blue June by Kalashas and Woomp or Womp, I'm not sure how they pronounce it, by the Gnarwave Rangers.
So what is the place of Kalashas in the Chicago music community?
I don't really think about it as like a place. It's just kind of like I have a certain amount of, I guess, effort that I put into it. Like I'm not always, you know, like trying to be, I'm not trying to make myself known too much sometimes. I know that sounds kind of weird, but I just kind of, I do it for fun a lot, and I don't think I'm ever going to make a ton of money doing it. So it's just kind of like most of the, I guess the, where I fit into the whole city scene would be just with my friends that play, like Gnarwave Rangers, Teleporter, Temporary Pharaohs, just so many bands I'm not, you know, remembering to say right now. That I play shows with, definitely Axons and Love and Radiation. They're both really awesome, and I've played lots of shows with them, and they always, you know, when there's an opportunity, they'll hook me up with a show, and I try to hit them back too, and just, it's just kind of, I guess that's where it fits in, basically, is sort of just having fun with friends and just kind of doing the music for fun and not really trying to make it much more than it already is, I guess, you know? I mean, right now, I think it's, I'm in like an interesting position because there's, it's just like so many different styles that are going on right now, and I think I get lumped into weird categories sometimes. Like if I'm playing stuff with the sampler and the loop station, people are like, oh, like what's that DJ box, or you know, like what's in the, it's like, it becomes like this very electronic thing when really the way I perform is I try not to make it too rigid and electronic, more so doing live looping and playing as much stuff as I can live. And so I think that's one interesting thing about the community is that people get these ideas about bands and people just from like their visual look sometimes. And I think people don't really try hard to really listen as much as they should and get, you know, really understand what's going on sometimes.
So being a solo performer is probably a hindrance in that way, visually.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I do play live a lot. I guess that's another thing I should mention about just Chicago in general is I do play with a band sometimes. I'll play with a drummer and a bass player, or in the past I've played with just a drummer or just a bass player, whatever, whoever's available really, just to kind of help me out. So comparing like the band shows versus the by myself, I definitely notice you get different reactions from people in the crowd and stuff. And yeah, I don't know. It's I don't want to call it a hindrance because on the one hand, people are like, oh, look at that. He's like, and it's like kind of like impressive for people who don't realize it's not that, it's really not that hard to play by yourself actually, but just people are like impressed by it, kind of like, oh, you're doing this all by yourself. That's really cool. And like, so it can be a hindrance visually, but also sometimes I notice it can be more captivating for people sometimes. Like if I play right after a band, it's like, oh, like you know, again, I'm not trying to like make myself sound like I'm anything special, but it's like people see it and they think it's, they're kind of interested, like, oh, what's he going to do? Or what's, because, you know, you're by yourself kind of thing, I guess.
What do you do to kind of cultivate that sort of mystery?
Well, it's funny because a lot of people will, after shows, I'll overhear people say things like, oh, he was, I saw his, like, I have this thing where I flip the reverb on my sampler sometimes and it makes the sound cut out for a second. And people think that that's like, oh, he's totally, it's all just a backing track. He just like screwed up or something. So I guess that's kind of like the mystery thing. Like people will think, oh, he's like singing to a backtrack, or oh, he's not really singing. Like I've actually had people say that to me and I'm kind of like offended. Like, come on, like I'm obviously performing right now. And it's like, so in terms of the mystery, I try to make it evident that I'm looping things, like, very clear that I'm, like, playing something, press the button, and, like, okay, he actually was playing that. It's not just, like, a pre-recorded thing. It's more live, improvised looping stuff. So in terms of, like, the mystery, it's, like, again, I'm not saying that it's, like, oh, it's so amazing that I'm doing this alone, but it's, like, I do want to have some credit for it. Like, you know, it's, like, people will overlook the fact that it's not all just backing tracks, and it's a lot of live, I guess, sometimes improvised stuff.
Look at me. Who am I supposed to be? Who am I supposed to be? Look at me. What am I supposed to be? What am I supposed to be? Look at me. Oh, my love. Oh, my love. She's
dick and fights all the time and always wants that she can win. She'll always apologize and maybe even give you a kiss. It's Lucy. That's what she sees. Oh, baby. It's Lucy.
You just heard my cover of Look at Me by John Lennon and my song Moosey.
So what is the future for Collages?
I guess that's kind of a hard question, definitely, but I really just want to keep doing what I'm doing now, which is just, you know, release music as frequently as I can and hopefully have it be good quality, not just putting stuff out because, but try to frequently put out stuff that I'm proud of, and hopefully just kind of over the years get more people listening and keep playing shows and just keep doing what I'm doing. But in terms of other things that I want to will be different, definitely I want to start my next thing that I release. I'm hoping to record somewhere a little better, maybe at Treehouse Studios, where my friend Barrett, the place that he runs, and just really kind of fine-tune everything and make it even better than it is right now, hopefully. and another big thing I want to do is do a tour, hopefully, like a small tour. And I kind of have to plan that around school and stuff, because I'm still in school, too, and working and stuff, so I'm hoping that there's a way to fit that in. And definitely want to try to start collaborating with other people as well, and just sort of, you know, push the boundaries on what I can do and, you know, try to do something new and exciting, hopefully.
Do you have a history of collaboration in the past?
Yeah, actually, I don't think we didn't have time to play his song, I'm not sure, but I used to play shows with this guy, Doug. His band's Another, they're called Another, and we would actually play shows together where we would play half my songs, half his songs, and then play the songs together. So it would be it would be billed basically as another in collages, playing a show together. If you ever search that on YouTube, we have a bunch of videos of us playing shows together, and that was really one of my favorite moments doing music, like in Chicago, since I've been doing it on my own. So I think that'd be something really cool that I'd like to do again with some other people, or Doug again, or whatever. Just because it's a really rewarding feeling to basically simultaneously help someone improve their songs, and then they pay it right back to you. It's just really fun to just do that. That was definitely one of my favorite moments, so that I'd love to do that again in the future.
Does it also help to maybe keep you sane, so that way you can actually exist outside of just working on your own, own bubble?
No, definitely. It's because it's kind of weird. Like, even at the beginning of this little interview, when I said this is collages, it's kind of a weird thing to say almost, because I always think about it as a band, even though a lot of the time I'm by myself, but I have so many people helping me out along the way and playing shows with, that it's kind of like a little family to me, but it's sort of, you know, changes and morphs all the time. But it's definitely something I'd like to do more in the future. It's just been hard with getting people, like my drummer, he was in school for a while. He was actually the drummer in my first band in high school too. So he went to school, and then now he's back, but now he might be going to med school and all this stuff. So sometimes it's hard to meet up with people. And that's the one thing that I like about collages, is that I can always go back to it, you know, and even if I'm by myself, I can do it, you know. So it's always nice to just, no matter what's going on, I can just kind of fall back into it. And I think that's something that's going to help me a lot in the future, just having that, so.
What do you feel is the largest progression that you've made over the last 5 years of this project?
I think probably actually my latest release is the most different from the others. The progression sort of goes, I did the first EP, and that was very based on getting used to the sampler, and because it was the first thing I ever did on my own, I realized that I could do anything. I could just put down so many different tracks. There's like 5 organ tracks on the second song of my first EP, Sleeping in Mind, and so it's just kind of like, that was a big step to begin with, just on the first one, was that total freedom, because when you're in a band, it's kind of like, okay, I'm going to record my guitar part and my vocal part, he's going to do the bass part, and then the drummer's going to record the drums, and it's like, okay, that's it. And then we'll do overdubs, whatever we want to do. But when you're by yourself, it's kind of like, oh, I can do anything. Nobody's going to tell me, like, eh, we shouldn't do that. It's that total freedom. So that was a big progression just as the first step. And then when I did the second one, it actually kind of, I reverted back to, like, there's a lot of, like, acoustic kind of songs on it. And I just kind of, like, simplified it. So that was almost like a regression, but also just keeping some of the ideas from the first one. And then from there, it's been changing a lot, but again, the reason I started with saying the new one is a big step is because it's the first one where I really used a lot of samples that weren't created by me. I actually sampled other people, which is something I haven't done a lot of before. And then from there, it was a lot of manipulating those samples so much to the point that you couldn't tell what the source material was, which I think was really important to me on the one hand, because if it ever actually got out there, I wouldn't want to get sued or anything, and I don't know a lot about sample laws, to be honest. So I thought it would be fun to really tweak them a lot so people almost can't even tell where they came from. But I've kind of retained a lot of the other things. Like, I'm still playing guitar over these songs with the samples. It's still very similar, but it's a new step that I hadn't done before.
So where can folks go to find all of the collages material?
Everything is free to download on collages.bandcamp.com. Or you can pay what you want. It's basically donation, whatever. But yeah, it's all free to download there. I have a album of covers there. And then I can't even remember how many albums I have right now. I think I have 6 different releases on there, most of which are EPs that are 4 songs, and then 2 full lengths. The one I recorded that I talked about earlier with Barrett. And then the new one I recorded at my apartment.
All right. Well, thank you for being on today.
Thanks a lot, man.
To check out past episodes of Notes and Bolts, you can go to notesandbolts.net. Make sure to check out Collages the next time he plays out. This has been the Notes and Bolts.